Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, worship Him. Come on, let's worship Him. Hallelujah. 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 Is He your source tonight? Is He your source tonight? Is He the source of your happiness? Is He the source of your existence? Then plug into your source and get recharged tonight. Plug into your source, hallelujah, and get rejuvenated tonight. Plug into your source, hallelujah, and get prepared tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn around and shake someone's hand and say, He's my source. Praise the Lord. America's in trouble because our source of fuel is in a land of people that absolutely hate us, despise us. They believe that the average American, here's an average American, they are a Christian and they take drugs and have sex with whomever they want to, and that's the average American. Now, we don't think that the average American is Christian, but they think that all Americans are all Christians, they're all drug addicts, and they all are worthy to die. They hate us. And yet our source for fuel is in a land where we are despised and we are in trouble. When your source is from the enemy's camp, you are in big trouble. And some of you tonight, your source is in the enemy's camp. Your source is in the enemy's war zone. And you're going to lose the battle. But I am here to tell you, if God is your source, if God is your source of energy, if He's your source of happiness, if He's your source of victory, then let the devil snort. Let him ravage and rampage. We have our source, and the devil will never be able to touch it. The devil hates you. The devil despises you. The devil wants to bring you down. The devil wants to destroy you. But if the devil ain't your source, who cares what the devil thinks? Who cares what the devil says? Because God is my source. See, we depend on the enemy. We depend on the enemy. We was in a synagogue, ministered to some Jews up there in Mount Vernon. And I had to wear one of those little hats, one of those little prayer shawls, and I had Hebrew written all over it, and there's a tag inside. And Brother Noaz, he walked up and he says, "What does that tag say?" And I said, "Made in China." There used to be a company in Nelsonville that everyone got their income working at Brooks's Shoe Company. A lot of people lost jobs because they could find cheaper wages over in one of these third world countries. Everyone got fired. Everyone got their job because the jobs were moved to another country. Let me tell you, the problem with America is we've got our finances tied up in other countries. We've got everything tied up in the enemy's camp. But when the enemy turns against us, we're going to be in trouble. And we're doing the same thing in the spiritual realm. We've got all of our assets tied up with the devil. We've got all of our assets tied up with the enemy. And when the enemy decides to fire you, honey, you're going to be out. You're going to be on the road. You ain't going to have a source. God's source is unending. I said God's source is unending. You know who your source is, brother, because God's calling you. Don't you worry about what your source is. Don't you worry about what your talents are. Don't worry about what you can and can't do. Because, mister, this ain't about you. This is about God. I don't care if you can't play the piano. I don't care if you can't sing. I don't care if
you stutter like Porky Pig. It ain't about how good you can sing. It's not in about how good you can speak. It's about Him. It's about Him. It's about Him. It's about Him.
The reason we can't do anything for God, because we think we're representing ourselves. Look, this is what I can do. Who cares what you can do? You're just an old human being. You're going to live around here for a while. A few years in that little span of time, somewhere between the teens and the 20s, you're going to look nice. And all of a sudden, everything's going to drop. You're going to get fat. You're going to look ugly. And your hair's going to fall out. Wrinkles is going to crawl all over your face. You go ahead and marry somebody for beauty. I've been lucky so far, brother. She still looks good. I'm using wisdom. She's looking at me. I don't know what she's thinking, but but see, this world is here but a short time and it's gone. It's not in how great you are or what you have or he who accumulates the most toys in the end wins. That's not what it's about. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about Him. We preach about Him. We sing about Him. We glorify Him. We are ambassadors of Him. We represent Him. We are taking Him before the world. I don't care what you can't do. But if you got a product that's good, that salesman might be bow-legged, cross-eyed. He might have a pot belly. He might stutter. He may be ugly as a mud fence. But when he's knocking on your door, if he's got a product that's priced right, if he's got a product that looks good, if he's got a product that can do what you want it to do, you're going to buy it not because of the salesman, but because of the product. I don't know what the salesmen in this church are like, but I know one thing. We got a good product. Hallelujah. We got a good product. We got a good thing going. It's a good price. And it was paid for at the hill of Calvary. Don't worry about the salesman. Take Jesus to the world. Take Jesus. I remember when I was a young kid, I went outside one day, lived in my grandmother and grandfather's big farm out in Mineral with my mom. And came out of the house one day, and behind Grandpa's farm there was this great big hill. There was a chicken coop on top of the hill. And on the other side of the hill there were some cows. I walked out of the house one day. The chicken coop was gone. The hill was gone. The cows were gone. All that was there was a desert plain with bits of hyssop growing up in different places, and I saw a camel, a one-hump camel, walking through the plain. I'd never seen a one-hump camel before. All my little storybooks, I was about 4 years old maybe, they were always two-hump camels. Didn't know there was a one-hump camel. I come running in the house. I said, Mommy, Mommy. I said, Grandpa's chicken coop's gone. I said, the hill's gone. The cow's gone. And here's a camel out there. And he's lost one of his humps. He said, okay, go out and play. I mean, the chicken coop done flew the coop. Took the hill with it. Took the cows. And Mom, you don't understand. Grandpa comes in screaming, get out there and play. There ain't no that chicken coops out there. There ain't no camels out there. I knew what I saw. I walked back outside and I looked. There was the hill, there was the chicken coop, and there was the cows. And the camel was gone. I was 3 or 4 years old. Never understood it. went back in, tried to explain it to mom, went back in, tried to explain it to grandpa. They thought it was just a child, just having another imaginative journey. You know, years and decades went by and I grew into manhood. I never did understand what I saw that day. Never did understand that experience until one day somebody handed me a calendar from the Holy Land. And on the front of that calendar was that desert plain, hyssop growing on the sides, and there was that camel on the front of the calendar. I said, God, now I don't understand this. You showed me something when I was 4 years old, and now you're showing me something now. And I said, what are you trying to tell me? He said, I'm trying to tell you that from the very beginning that I have called you to take this gospel to a people that no one else will go to a people that have denied me, to a people that are thirsting for water, and I'm going to open the door. Now, last year, God began to speak to me. And God said, now you go over there. He said, no, I'm not just taking you. He said, I'm taking you to Iraq. And you're going to go into Iraq. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to go into Iraq. I don't have the money. But I just started making plans to go. I didn't make it last year. Well, you know, just a few things go wrong, like things do happen in churches. There was a blow up in the church. Now, I don't mean the people were fighting. I mean they blew the church up with a bomb. Blew the compound up. Blew the pastor's home up. Blew everything up. And I said, well, I'm going next year. And I waited and I waited. And that ticket, you know, it started getting higher. Go down a little bit and go higher. I said, God, I don't know how I'm going, but I'm going. Someone said, Brother Ward, here, I want to give you a check to help you on your trip to Iraq. I opened that check up. It was a check for $1,000. Now, I went to buy that ticket, and something said, wait. I said, Lord, when the price of gas goes up, the price of the ticket's going to go up because jets run on fuel. But I waited. A group of rabbis said, preacher, we want to go over there with you to Iraq and into Israel. There's a group of Orthodox people. They are Orthodox Jews that want to hear about Jesus. Will you go tell them about Jesus? Now, when I first went into the synagogue to preach, people said, well, you're a Pentecostal preacher. Why are you going preaching to a bunch of Jews in a synagogue? And I said, well, because Paul did, because Timothy did, because Silas did, because the apostles did, because Andrew did, because Bartholomew did. So I started praying about it. And at the last minute, it came time. I said, oh, here's some tickets. You can get them right now several $100 cheaper than what it would be. I jumped in there and we said, oh, we'll get the tickets. And so I went ahead and bought the ticket and I forgot to contact the churches where I was preaching down there. You ever hear of the atheists all dressed up, nowhere to go? I bought the ticket. Then I contacted the churches I were going to. I said I couldn't come last year. I'm coming the 9th of September. What the pastor said? Sorry, but I'm going to be in America and all of our churches are going to be closed the whole month for Ramadan. I said, Rama what? She said, Ramadan. We've got so many Muslims getting saved, and because of Ramadan, we're closing our churches. Man, I'm telling you, I was chewing my fingernails. I thought, what am I going to do now? I'm going, and the church I was supposed to get me into Iraq, I wasn't able to get in there. And so I made up my mind I was going Ramadan or no Ramadan. My wife said, you going to Iraq? I said, I'm going to Iraq. She said, you are? I said, yeah. She said, well, you got your passport. You got to have a visa to get in Iraq. How come you're not trying to get your visa? I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. She was sitting there one night before we went to bed. She went, oh, I know what you're going to do. I said, what? You're not going to go through the border. You're going to try to slip over the border and sneak into Iraq.
Lie to a prophet. Lie to a fortune teller. Lie to, don't ever lie to a woman. She knows exactly what you're thinking. I said, yeah. I said, I'm slipping into Iraq. She said, how are you going to do it? I said, the same way I slipped into West Virginia. So I'm just going to go right on in. Remember how I got into Switzerland when they stole my passport? They said, you can't get into Switzerland. I got into Switzerland. Just... She said, you're going to get killed. She said, now I've got a $300,000 life insurance policy. And before you leave, you're going to... No, I'm just kidding. It was only $100,000. But... So I was thinking, Lord, now you've opened up a door and now you've closed the door. It's Ramadan. Why did this happen? Just yesterday, I got a phone call from a pastor in Israel. Said, Dr. Ward, we got word that you were coming to the Middle East. And I said, that's right. I said, I was supposed to come to such and such churches, but they're closed for Ramadan. And the pastor said, well, you know, I hate to say this, but I'm glad. And I said, why? The pastor said, because we got churches down here that are begging for revival. We got Muslims that are crying out to learn about Jesus. And no one will come and preach. No one will come and give the message. Will you come? I said, you bet your bottom dollar I'm on my way. He said, now you're not going to be staying in Jerusalem where you were staying before. She said, you're going to be staying in the West Bank. You're going to be in the enemy's territory. I said, lady, I've been in the enemy's territory ever since I've been saved, ever since I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. This ain't going to be nothing new to me. I said, I'm coming. I'll be there. And we're going to have revival. She said, and where are you going after you preach here? And then we go to the compound. I'm still going to the compound in Jordan. Just Jericho and around Amman. I'm still going there. That's Muslim territory. And she said, where are you going from there? I said, I'm going into Iraq. I said, how are you getting into Iraq? I said, I'm just going to walk in. Now that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But you know why I can make decisions like that and not be afraid? Because I know when I walk up to that closed iron door that somebody is going to put a key in it and open it up and say, walk right on through. When God guides you somewhere, God will provide you somewhere. He said, you're going to do what? So I'm just walking into Iraq. She got real quiet. He said, you better talk to James. I said, James, I guess that's one of the other pastors. He said, you don't want to do that. I said, you're right, I don't want to. But God told me to go, and I'm going. They said, you know what? Said, we'll get you. If you're bound determined to do that, we're going to get a group of people together. We're going to escort you to the border. We're going to get your visa, and we're going to go in. And if we can, there's a church right now where Saddam Hussein lived. He had a big swimming pool in his backyard, and we'll take you there, let you have revival, and let you baptize everyone you can in Saddam Hussein's pool. I said, you tell him to warm that baby up, because I'm coming in and I'm going to baptize and I'm going to preach and I'm going to take the gospel, and I'm not afraid, because I know who my source is. I know from whence cometh my help. I know who my high tower is. Hallelujah. Stand and worship the Lord tonight. Who's our source tonight? When the doctor says cancer, when the doctor says heart disease, when the boss says you're fired. No, no. My source is not in the enemy's camp. My source is in an ancient manuscript called the Word of God. I stand on the Word. I stand on His Word. When the world's on fire, I'll stand on His Word. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll stand on His Word. When all the demons from hell belch their evil power against me, I'll stand on the Word, because I know whence cometh my help. Just lift up your hands and cry out to God. Cry out, make Him your source tonight. Whoa! Glory, let's gather around this altar. Come on. Come on, come on. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Plug in tonight. Plug in tonight. Get around this altar and plug in. Lift up your hands and get your battery recharged. Hallelujah. Woo! Yes.
Okay, brother. God bless you.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Whatever your need is tonight, slip up your hands and give it to God. Plug in to His socket. Plug into the power. Plug into the voltage. Get recharged tonight. Get renewed tonight. And let God have His way.
If I'm here, a little more. Praise the Lord. Now I know y'all have done this before, but let's do a prayer line. Let's start over here. And let's get some people lined up. And let's, as we go through, let's begin to pray for them. I believe God is moving here. There's a spirit moving right now. And I believe the Lord is just saying that we just need to pray one for another. So if we can kind of move down here, then let's just begin to fall in. Now, I know y'all know what I'm talking about now. Come on. Just come on down here.